This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, October 20, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Zeeland City officials have scheduled a public hearing for Monday evening to hear from residents and property owners about whether Zeeland should allow the sale of alcohol on Sundays, Dee Morrison reports.
Zeeland's current alcohol ordinance bans the sale or serving of alcohol on Sundays. Now the city council is considering changes that would allow it on Sundays starting at noon. Earlier this year, city staff investigated how much interest there might be in allowing Sunday sales.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it would help bring a little bit more people into the city.
Restaurant owner Mike Gritzmaker owns the Gritzmaker Social House, open about a year. Sunday sales would let him expand his business to 7 days a week and, he says, keep more business in Zeeland.
Everybody that wants to, let's say, watch football or sports things that are on Sundays and not at home, you know, they have to go to Holland or Hudsonville, Saugatuck, those areas because there's nothing going on in town.
Other liquor license holders noted the change would enhance opportunities to offer private events on Sundays. Alcohol sale or service would continue to be banned during specific hours from Christmas Eve through December 26. The council is also considering whether to allow alcohol in city parks, such as the Splash Pad or Elm Street, under social district guidelines. I'm Dee Morrison.
A Muskegon food truck operator is moving his outdoor business into a vacant church where he will operate an indoor restaurant. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the city is helping him get it done.
They plan to rehabilitate this building that was once a church into a restaurant.
During a presentation to the city commission, development analyst Jocelyn Hine said, the planned Gigi's Grill on East Laketon will provide another dining destination in Muskegon and jobs.
Hoping to hire about 7 to 10 servers and workers in the restaurant.
You're already operating outside.
Yes, we're working outside.
Church owner and former pastor Luis Santillanes is already operating Gigi's Grill as a food truck outside the building at 431 East Laketon. He says it was a restaurant before it was a church and will be again.
Winter's coming. We're trying to keep moving with the business.
And have a permanent location.
That's the plan.
I see you out there all the time. And I've heard good things about your food.
Commissioner Willie German says he's noticed the food truck is already a place where people gather.
So it's good that you're making the attempt to have a brick and mortar because it's getting cold for one.
To help the restaurant get started, the city's freezing taxes on the property for 8 years. Santillanes says he hopes to have it open in March.
Working as hard as we can, and so far everything's doing great. Hopefully see you guys there soon.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The state attorney general is launching a new social media account in hopes of protecting consumers from scams. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has the details.
A new consumer protection social media account has been launched by Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. Michigan Consumer Protection will be dedicated to helping Michigan residents stay safe from scams, identity theft, and other deceptive schemes. The AG's office says the new account will serve as a trusted source for scam alerts, consumer protection tips, education resources, and updates from the Department of Attorney General. By following Michigan Consumer Protection, Michiganders can stay informed about the latest tactics used by bad actors to trick people out of their money and personal information. In a news release, Attorney General Nessel says, quote, scammers are getting more and more sophisticated, adding, we're meeting people where they are, online, to make sure Michigan residents have the information they need to recognize, avoid, and report scams before it's too late, end quote. The Michigan Consumer Protection account will post content designed to alert consumers to current scams and deceptions, plus share helpful tips to protect yourself. Residents can follow at MI Consumer Watch on Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Rapids leaders continue the city's 175th anniversary celebration. Friday, the Public Museum recognized the occasion with an unveiling and riverfront improvement dedication. WGVU's Dee Morrison was there.
Grand Rapids Public Museum and city leaders held a dedication ceremony unveiling a plaque commemorating the city's 175th anniversary to be installed outside the museum. The dedication also included the museum's nearly completed riverfront improvements. It's part of an ongoing $50 million renovation, which includes the 1928 Spillman Carousel in the Cook Pavilion and outdoor areas. It adds event space, hands-on science stations, more access to the Grand River, improved walkways, trails, and an outdoor classroom. Dale Robertson is the museum president and CEO.
Really, it's a public park because it will be open regardless of whether the museum is operating or not. The public can come and enjoy it anytime they want to, and it is designed purposefully to allow access to the river regardless regardless of the river's height, and it is designed purposely for full accessibility regardless of anyone's mobility needs.
The Community Archives and Research Center will soon have a new public space, allowing more community access to the 250,000 artifacts and specimens in the museum's collections. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU Shelley Irwin talks to Laura Armenta about a Dia de los Muertos event. But first, news from around the state. A swing district Michigan Democrat in Congress says she can't support a resolution to reopen the federal government without including an extension of health care tax credits as part of the bargain. We have more from Rick Bluta.
The House Republican majority is trying to pressure Democrats like Representative Kristen McDonald Rivett to reopen the government first and save negotiations on health coverage for later. But McDonald Rivett says her mid-Michigan constituents are getting bills for health care premiums now and have to know whether they can count on those credits.
To just pass a resolution knowing that this crisis is happening right now on the idea that in the future there will be a negotiation is irresponsible.
McDonald Rivett represents one of the most competitive House districts in the country. President Donald Trump won the district in the last election. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan-based federal workers on mandatory unpaid leave amid the government shutdown could be eligible for state employment insurance. Colin Jackson has more.
The Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency is promoting tools geared toward helping federal workers figure out next steps. Agency Director Jason Palmer says that includes links to various state jobs programs and resources to walk claimants through the process.
No matter what type of job, you know, what your industry is, where you live in Michigan, we're here to help. It just happens that right now, it's the federal workers who are facing a lot of uncertainty and layoffs, so we want to be sure that we're here to help them.
Under a 2019 federal law, furloughed workers are supposed to receive back pay, though President Donald Trump has called that into question. Federal employees who do receive back pay would have to pay the state back for any unemployment they get while off work. I'm Colin Jackson.
Thousands turned out along Drake Road in Kalamazoo Saturday to demonstrate as part of the second national No Kings protest. The event, called No Kings 2.0, drew people of all ages. Protesters waved flags and signs opposing the Trump administration. Local residents Alicia and Kevin Youngblood attended together. The husband and wife said they didn't have signs at first, but another person gave them signs. Kevin said the event was full of community, togetherness, and a shared desire to create change.
I mean, I think people are fed up with where this country is. I think some people took a chance on something different in the last election, not me personally, but we're seeing the after effect of that, and I think what you're seeing now is people are tired of what this is. We are 9 months in, and we are exhausted.
Counter-protesters did not seem to be present at the two-hour event. In a statement, Indivisible Greater Kalamazoo claims nearly 10,000 people were in attendance. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. A fall performance series is right around the corner. Dia de los Muertos, a celebration of life, culture, and movement, presented by the Laura Armenta Dance Company. WGVU Shelley Irwin talked to Laura about the vibrant spirit of Mexico's most soulful tradition through dance, music, and storytelling.
Let's talk about a dance series not to be missed. Alora Armenta Dance Company, founded in 1992 in Mexico City, now based right here in Grand Rapids. And of course, we've spoken with you before. We speak now. We'll speak again with the many opportunities you share with us. And it looks like you have many opportunities with this conversation. Hi, Laura.
Hello, good morning.
Good that you are here. Talk to me, first of all, about your brand. What is this Laura Armenta Productions?
Well, it's a combination of everything we do with our Mentality Movement Arts Center, as well as with a dance company. So it could be opportunities for people to come and dance at the studio. And from there, we also recruit talent to come into the dance company.
Yes, and your life as a dancer has been quite a journey.
Indeed, 40 plus years of happening, making it all this.
Still dancing.
Yep.
Yay. Let's get into present day activities. The Laura Armenta Dance Company presents Dia de los Muertos, a celebration of life, culture, and movement. What's it about?
Well, obviously it's a very ancient tradition for the Mexican culture, so this is a tribute, a fusion of contemporary dance and a little bit of folk dance to bring a Day of the Dead celebration. And this is a special anniversary because in 2008, that UNESCO actually declared Dia de los Muertos as an intangible cultural heritage for humanity. And so, of course, being Mexican, it is time to hold on to that tradition and bring it to West Michigan. And this time around, we have the opportunity to collaborate with KDL Library. So we have the opportunity to offer this special event because it's performance as well as a little lecture to introduce the community to what this celebration is all about. And we're closing each performance with a little workshop. So it's very interactive. We're obviously close to the audience, and we want them to take a little taste of the dance with us.
Does each performance unfold as a moving tribute to remembrance and renewal?
Yeah, very much so. Yes. The dances that we are presenting are specifically from the state of Oaxaca in Mexico. Back in the day, that's where I started my research with dance anthropology. So although I am from Mexico City, Oaxaca really holds a special place for me. And so these dances are, yes, a celebration for the Day of the Dead, but also very colorful, vibrant. And that's what I want to share. So it's not dull and sadness. It's truly a celebration of who we are.
None of your brand is dull or sad, and yet it's real. Let's take apart the event and location. There is this Thursday.
This Thursday, October 23rd at 6:30, we're going to be at the KDL Granville branch. And we have a little gap after that in November 1st. That's going to be a kind of early afternoon at Our Mentality downtown here at Our Mentality Movement Arts Center. That's at 12:30 p.m. And we are closing November 11th at the KDL Plainfield branch, and that's also at 6:30 p.m.
Yes. Let's a couple are free, a couple, of course, a small ticket price for obviously that's necessary. Other opportunities you want to share? Do we are these like without an intermission? Do we sit and enjoy prior to the workshop?
The events are about an hour tops. And as I said, we're going to have a lovely MC and new dancer, actually. I'm very excited. Yeah. And so she's going to share information about what this tradition is all about. We have costume changes, of course, so it's going to be vibrant. And we're closing each with a segment of a workshop for people to dance with us.
Well, and that's where I'm going to follow up. Dance with us. So this rare opportunity, and I'm quoting you, to step into the rhythm and spirit of Dia de los Muertos, which means?
Day of the Dead. It's yes. A celebration of those that have passed, but that we honor our love for them and vice versa.
Talk to me about the workshop. Obviously, bring comfortable clothes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nothing fancy. It's just fun. It's a family event, so grandmas, kids, everybody can join. It's an upbeat tradition.
And in general, as we watch all three, these are different, mostly women involved here?
For this particular event, yes. But on stage will be women only, but this is for everybody. So yes, dads, grandpas, everybody, come and dance.
And how about if one's thinking, how can this happen at the Plainfield Kent District Library or the Granville Kent District Library? There's plenty of space.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I'm very excited. The Granville branch has a new remodeling area. The space is gorgeous. Great sound. So the performance is going to be awesome and the dancing fantastic. Also, I'm excited because they have a brand new website. LauraArmenta.com is where you can find the details for this performances and everything about Laura. So
that you wanted to know, but were afraid to ask, right?
Exactly.
Yes. How important is this celebration to those in Mexico?
In Mexico, there is a different tradition that varies per state. Mm. So there is not a standard way to celebrate. It is an ancient tradition, obviously, that got fused with the influence of European settlements. But it's all about going into the cemetery occasionally, where right there that is dancing overnight. Of course, the best part is food, because regionally, everybody, every state cooks something different. We're supposed to cook something that our loved ones used to love, and that's how we honor them as well. Of course, in Mexico, everybody dances. So if your dad that has passed away, like in case mine or my mom, they love dancing cumbia. So we would cook things that they would love to eat. We dance and sing to whatever celebration that they used to have. Traditionally in Mexico, November 1st is for children that have passed, and November 2nd is for adults. So it's an ongoing, beautiful thing.
And your presentation is considered a bilingual, multisensory experience?
Yes. Ideally, we want to make sure that everybody feels included, but we'll just play it to see who comes. Obviously, it's open for everybody, so if the Mexican or the South American community is listening, yes, please come.
Great. Again, kicking off as early as this Thursday. All right, details one more time.
All details are at lauraarmenta.com. This Thursday, we start at Granville, KDL Branch, at 6:30 p.m. And from there, we go November 1st at Our Mentality, 12:30 p.m., and November 11th to close at Plainfield Branch at 6:30 p.m.
Do we get to see you dance all three?
Yes.
That's so
still shaking.
And the KDLs are free?
Yeah, free. Yes.
Yes, but to support, obviously, you in any way we can, including that Saturday, November 1st. Admission only $7. So, okay. Stay the course, Laura
yes.
Armenta. Congratulations
thank you.
On the good work you're doing. Take care.
Thank you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, October 20, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.